For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, March 19th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Haris Kermani, and I'm going to be going solo today as we take on a five-game slate filled with some pretty interesting spreads and some pretty interesting totals as well with a bunch of these games, really looking at some pretty anemic numbers as far as totals and spreads are concerned, really making it so that a five-game slate could very well be something closer to less games than that, where we really end up placing our focus. But as always, you know, it's all about trying to find the right pillars and seeing who it is that you can kind of support them with to be able to get to the value that you're looking for here, which is really that same 6 to 7x threshold whenever we get into these kind of slates where the margin for error is just that much lesser. And to keep your margin for error as high as possible, you want to get yourself subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass so you can keep yourself on top of all the content, all the injury reports, and all of the amazing resources that we have on our Discord and on our website to keep you ahead of the game and always on top of what is going on. But jumping right into it over here, looking at the point guard side of things here, and there's a couple of interesting ways that we can potentially find ourselves going with this. Now, we do know that Luka Doncic is questionable for that Dallas and San Antonio game, but regardless, I do really like Kyrie in this matchup, even if Luka happens to find himself on the floor. At 9,200, he has been playing some incredible basketball over the last week, putting up 50-plus DK points in each of his last three games, even if it has been in a bunch of different ways, not necessarily shooting the absolute lights out, for example, in that Denver game, but still finding ways to contribute and getting close to a triple-double in that one, and in fact, been kind of in that rebounding binge over the last little bit, where he's got well over 20 rebounds over the last three games that he's played, including double-digit assists as well, which is, you know, not always something that we associate with Kyrie, but it's clear that he is just continuing to take big steps as far as playmaking is concerned in this season, and altogether just fitting in like a glove in that Dallas Mavericks offense, and has really found his niche there with Luka Doncic as his backcourt mate. Moving into some of the mid-tier side of things, sticking with that same Dallas-San Antonio matchup, if I do like Kyrie, I do want to run it back on the other side with Devin Vassell, who I have maintained in general just has the kind of upside that you want for a guy in that 7,000 range. Definitely more of a GPP pick at 7,300 because he has the tendency to have some games where he ends up going a little bit below what we may otherwise expect. But I think this is going to be one of those matchups with the lack of defense in general that Dallas has in its backcourt, and what I expect to be one of the faster-paced games of the night. In fact, the highest total of the night so far in 232, even though the Mavericks are favored to win by 8.5, in general, we're seeing that all the games tonight do have a pretty large spread, and even the closest spread at the moment, that Denver and Minnesota game, still has Denver being favored to win by 7. So there's always the risk of, you know, games that don't necessarily go down to the wire, could be seeing a little bit of a blowout or anything of that sort that could always hamper minutes there. So you want to kind of have those 7,000 guys that could go ahead and blow up in, you know, low 30 minutes rather than, you know, big 36, 37 minute nights, and if not necessarily need that, just need a good shooting night to be able to get there. And that extends into that Charlotte and Orlando game as well, where I do really like Trey Mann continuing to get those opportunities in the starting lineup, which has been a bit of a revelation for him in the last two games, putting up 30 and then 48 DK points respectively against the Philadelphia 76ers, which obviously are a really pesky defensive team, especially in the backcourt. And for Trey Mann in that Charlotte game, you know, to find himself in a pretty strong situation as far as, you know, his minutes and his usage is concerned, getting 36 and 37 minutes in those last two games, and it's working out well for him. So I do expect that he'll get the opportunity to continue to do that as the season winds down for a Charlotte team, which is really just kind of playing it out for the rest of the time here. I doubt that we're going to be seeing a bunch of these guys coming back. LaMelo Ball is highly unlikely to jump back into the season as well. So I expect that Trey Mann's going to get all the opportunities to be able to do whatever he wants. And even though Orlando isn't the greatest matchup from a pace or a defensive standpoint, Charlotte should still give him more than enough minutes to be able to beat that value pretty handily and get somewhere into that 6 to potentially 7x. Moving on to the shooting guards side of things, and again, there's a lot of overlap here with guys who are potentially point guards moving into the shooting guard side of things as well. And I'm going to start right at the top over here in what is my favorite matchup of the night as far as fantasy is concerned, and that's that Houston and Washington game that's going to be happening tonight. A 228.5 game total, the Rockets favored to win by 9 in an away game, which is interesting, obviously, given that they are, you know, without Sengun. But what we have been seeing as of late has been some really explosive scoring happening in that backcourt, and especially it's been Jalen Green, who's been basically unleashed now that all of that usage that was going towards Sengun and that offense has kind of found itself back towards him. Now, as far as Jalen Green is concerned, you know, he's been definitely a bit up and down as far as his shooting percentages are concerned, and in general has been pretty streaky as far as the season has been going. But the last couple of games now has really found his stroke, both from the inside and from outside, hitting 9 of his last 18 three-point attempts, which is obviously good for 50% over there, and having two straight 50-plus DK point games, which has obviously risen his price up from what we had been seeing earlier in the season in that 6 to 7,000 range. But all that matters now is what his current role is. And the role is that he is going to get 20 plus shots on this Houston team right now, really needing as much offense as possible. And for them to continue to kind of fight their way into what could be a potential play-in spot, though it's getting a bit tougher as things go on. But Jalen Green should have all the usage that he needs to be able to make that happen. And at 8,100, in one of the best defensive opportunities that you get, meaning that Washington will just let you do whatever you want on the offensive end, he should find himself with another opportunity to be able to put up 50 plus. And at 8,100, definitely one of my favorite picks as far as the entire slate is concerned, much less just shooting guards. Going down a little bit further and really running it to the other side of it, it's Jordan Poole at 6,600. Now, he is absolutely a GPP pick rather than one that you'd be looking at in any sort of cash, just because we know how incredibly up and down he has been. And it's been frustrating, not only, I'm sure, for Washington fans, but also people who expected Jordan Poole in their fantasy leagues and just in general to have a much more effective season as far as his offense is concerned. And that's definitely not been the case as far as the whole season goes. But again, recency bias and recent results are showing that it is kind of a bit of a hotter streak for him. And even in that Houston game that they played about 5 days back, where he ended up with 38 DK points, the best part was he did put up 25 real points, shot 10 of 19, and found himself getting his stroke from outside going as well. In the last three games now, he's gone ahead and hit 11 of his last 24 three-pointers as well. So again, a hot streak as far as downtown shooting is concerned. And even if he's not necessarily going to wow you with his supporting stats, 6,600 is a good enough price tag for him to be able to put up something similar to that 40 he did the last game against Boston. And that in and of itself is good for 6x value over there, and exactly what you want from one of those mid-range picks. And then as far as value is concerned, and I'm going a little bit lower over here, and this is definitely a boom or bust pick just because his minutes have also been kind of weirdly taken away over the last, I want to say, week and a half as well. But then he found himself getting hot against OKC and getting a full boatload of minutes there. So that's Tim Hardaway Jr. at 4,500, who can either give you 40 plus, as he did against OKC a couple of nights back, or he can have a real dud of a night and end up in those, you know, low double digits to sometimes even single digits as far as his DK points values are concerned. So definitely not a pick for the faint of heart as of late, especially given how well Kyrie's been playing and a lot of that offense going towards his way. But you would hope, with how much Dallas would love to have Tim Hardaway's outside shooting continue to be a factor for them, especially as we ramp down into regular season ending, moving into the playoff side, he is going to be an important cog for their offense and an important release valve for both Kyrie and Luka to find in the corners, especially to be able to go ahead and get some of that quick and instant offense. So at 4,500, he is absolutely the perfect GPP pick to go ahead and round out your lineups if you are looking at some of these more expensive guards otherwise, or even some of the more expensive forward options that we're going to be talking about in a bit. And if you need to be able to save some money with a guy who does have a decent bit of upside, if he can get his minutes and his offense going, that's a little bit of exposure that you'll want to have as far as Tim Hardaway is concerned. Moving into the small forward side of things over here, and there's, to me, a little bit less kind of explosive upside with the picks that we're seeing on the small forward side of things. But there are a bunch of solid options that I think can be pretty useful as far as their price tags are concerned, giving you some of that 5.5 to 6x upside, and then perhaps maybe saving a little bit of money on this side to be able to look at some of the more interesting options when we get to the power forward and center side of things. But looking at the mid-tier, which is where I'm going to start over here, going back to that Charlotte and Orlando game, I do think Franz Wagner is someone that you do want to pay attention to. And it really just comes down to, you hope that he can continue to find ways to be that little bit more aggressive. I mean, we have seen that in the last two, three games against Brooklyn and the pair against Toronto, where he did have some really great first halves, and that did end up carrying him to a decent night as far as his DK points are concerned, scoring 35 and above in each of those three and topping out at 37.5. But what you're really hoping is that he can carry some of that aggression into the second half and get his field goal attempts going into the higher end of the teens rather than kind of settling around that 13-14 range, because it's clear that he is, at the very least, the second best offensive option on that Orlando team. And it's just one of those things where he seems to be kind of content playing within himself and within some parts of the offense rather than, you know, getting a little bit more of himself going in the offensive side things. And, you know, with Orlando being in a pretty good position, not necessarily where people would have expected them to be when the season started, but they're are likely to find themselves somewhere in that top four to really fifth seed at worst in the East, which is going to give them a decent chance to be able to make a little bit of noise in the playoffs. And if they are going to do that, it's going to kind of come alongside Paolo Banchero. It's going to come on the back of Franz Wagner being that key offensive cog for them. So I do hope that he can kind of continue to build on what he has been doing as of late. And the good thing is that his home games are considerably more explosive than his away ones. Not only does he average 51% from the field over there versus 45 away, but he's also shooting considerably better from outside and overall averages north of 20 points a game in his home ones rather than getting below 20.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you're hoping that that's going to be a pretty good opportunity in, again, a Charlotte matchup where Orlando should be able to win this pretty comfortably, but it should hopefully give some opportunities for some of these offensive players to be able to go ahead and put up some big numbers. And while I'm going to be potentially avoiding Paolo Banchero for his price tag a little bit later when I'll be talking about the power forwards, I do think Wagner is where you want to have a little bit more exposure, because I expect that this could be a good matchup for him to exploit. Sticking with that mid-tier, and again, a little bit down, further down over here, we're looking at Amen Thompson on the Houston Rockets. And again, just a clear beneficiary of the Alperen Şengün injury. Last two games has found himself with a double-digit field goal attempts consistently and putting up 70-plus percent from the field in that time. Now, that's not necessarily the most sustainable thing, but he is one of those guys that loves to slash to the rim, get himself going from the inside over there. And while he's not necessarily going to wow you with his statistical output, he has been getting a very noticeable uptick, not only in his rebounding, where he's put up 19 in the last two games, but just overall point scoring has taken a noticeable push upwards to the north side as he gets himself that little bit more opportunity and a little bit more consistency with the minutes that he's been getting. Averaging 27 over the last two, set 12 and 11 field goal attempts in that time, and near double-double in both of those opportunities as well. So for a guy who has the upside to be able to give you a 20 and 10 stat line, obviously had a big game against Washington just a couple of nights ago, and we'll be hoping to see a little bit of a repeat in that. He may be a relatively popular pick, but I expect that he's a pick that you want to be able to have a good bit of exposure, given that Houston is finding their ways with a bunch of different smaller ball lineups now in the absence of Şengün, and Amen Thompson has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of that. And again, I already mentioned that Rockets and Wizards game is, to me, a gold mine as far as a lot of value and a lot of opportunities. And speaking of opportunities, Justin Champagny, who's gotten his opportunity with the Washington in that 10-day contract, he actually got a start against Boston in that last matchup where he ended up playing 36 minutes and putting up 29 DK points, is still sitting at that 4,200 price tag, which I do think will adjust a little bit as he continues to kind of get these, I don't want to say garbage time, but more like garbage season area as far as Washington's concerned, minutes to be able to go ahead and kind of show what he can potentially do. I mean, we saw him kind of earlier in the season have games where he had some pretty sneaky good statistical lines for anytime he was able to get somewhere north of 20 minutes, and he's clearly got a opportunity to be able to do that for at least the next little bit. So for him to be sitting at that 4,200 price tag, while you could potentially have him not necessarily just destroy that price tag depending on what his offensive usage looks like, should have enough minutes to be able to beat that price tag pretty handily over there, and I do like him as that value pick to round out my lineup. Moving on to the power forward side of things, and again, we have talked about some of the more expensive guys I'm looking at from the point guard and shooting guard capabilities. Kyrie, Jalen Green, those guys are where I'm looking to potentially spend up. So I'm looking here at a little bit more value to be able to save me some of that cash that I'm going to need to round out the lineups that I have over here. And I mentioned that even though I do think Paolo Banchero is in a pretty good spot to be able to do quite well here as far as not only the matchup is concerned, but also himself just being on a pretty good streak as far as offensive output is concerned, I am a bit worried with his price tag and the chance of this being a matchup in which he's not necessarily required to put up kind of big stat lines, because Charlotte's just not going to be able to keep up with what Orlando's going to be doing at home. Again, the Vegas spread being considerably lower than some of the higher games over here. 203 is one of the lower spreads we've seen as far as the season itself is concerned, and we obviously don't see too many in that region nowadays, so and just a bit risky to be able to have Banchero sitting at that 9,000 mark. I would have loved to take him if he was sitting kind of in that lower 8,000s once, where I can
basically mitigate some of that risk with a lower price tag. But I expect that this is going to be a bit too rich for my blood. So I am going to be looking more in that 6,000 range. And again, I feel like I'm almost beating a dead horse over here. But again, there's just so much opportunity with these Houston Rocket players that I think there's a bunch of ways that you can go. And Jabari Smith Jr. is also going to be another one of those guys that at 6,900, you know, between him and Amen Thompson, I'll definitely lean more towards Amen for that $1,000 cheaper price tag and having a similar kind of upside in terms of what he's doing over here. But from a power forward center eligible player, I do think Jabari Smith should also be in a position to be able to put up 40 plus pretty consistently, not only in this matchup, but in general, just given the fact that his rebounding has taken a positive uptick. In general, has been pretty consistent as far as the season's concerned, which is obviously helpful from a floor determination perspective, and for a guy who's still sub 7,000 to feel pretty confident that she's not going to give you anything below 30. That does give you a little bit to think about as far as feeling a little safer with some of these guys here if you are jumping into the potential upside and riskier picks of some of the other picks that we were looking at a little bit earlier here. And again, moving into the value side of things, and that's going all the way at the bottom. With that Charlotte-Orlando game, you know, you're obviously not trying to game script too much over here. You never want to expect a blowout to happen because those things always end up working out opposite than what you're expecting. But what I do always like is with Mo Wagner, his points per minute production continues to be just absolutely excellent. He doesn't need to go out and play 30 minutes a game to be able to put up some really good stat lines for his price tag. He really just needs to be able to play 20 to 25 minutes for this 3,700 price tag that he has now, and he could easily give you a 25 to 30 DK points in that time, which is obviously excellent for the price that he's putting out over here. So you're hoping that Orlando can keep this pretty comfortable all the way through, and that should allow Mo Wagner to get a little bit early and a little bit more exposure as far as the game is concerned and as far as his own offensive usage goes. And for 3,700, I think he's the perfect kind of value DFS pick that you look for when you are kind of looking to spend up on some of these other players as far as guards are concerned and trying to save a little bit of cash. For him to be at 3,700 does exactly what I need as far as rounding out my lineup. Now, finally, moving into the center side of things, and this is, of course, where you have some decisions to be made as far as just how much you want to spend up as far as the obvious pillar options that we have here. Now, both Jokic and Wemby are above 10,000, Jokic at 12,100, Wembanyama at 10,600, both of them in some pretty decent matchups to be able to go ahead and put up some pretty big stat lines. Now, surprisingly, Jokic has not had a monster game just as of yet when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves matchup. But I do expect that, apart from the fact that this is a matchup that could very well repeat itself in the playoffs, but it also has been one where in the past, Jokic has put up some pretty big numbers over here. So whether you're wanting to bet on the fact that obviously Jokic is Jokic and he's actually on a little bit of a, you don't really want to call it a slump, but in the last three games, he has had either a 50 or less in that time over there, so it has kind of kept his price tag. So it's kind of similarly sitting around that 12,000 mark there with the hope that he'll kind of turn it around. Now, between him and Wembanyama, I do expect that Wembanyama will probably be the more kind of popular pick, given the fact that he's coming off a monster game against Brooklyn, and also that his cheaper price tag has given you kind of similar levels of upside in slightly different way. He obviously has massive blocks potential, which is really putting up a lot when he can have the kind of nights that he has been having as of late, with two out of his last five games being seven block nights, which is just absolutely insane. So between Jokic and Wemby, even though I've found myself going for Jokic in a lot of matchups over here. Given that I do expect that Dallas is going to be putting up some pretty good numbers from the backcourt, as we mentioned, Kyrie's one of my favorite picks there, I may find myself running it back with Wemby on the other side and talking through all of those kind of value picks that I have had in my shooting guard, small forward, and power forward area, is so that I can go ahead and have Wemby actually fit into my lineup here. So definitely something to consider if you are looking at that pillar pick at the top and perhaps fading Jokic, even though that's a scary prospect in its own, and potentially going for Wembanyama instead. Now, on the other side, if you're looking for a little bit more kind of solidarity and just solidity in the middle side over here to try and just round it out and maybe spend a little bit more money on, say, someone like a Jalen Green alongside Kyrie in the back, then maybe you want to look at someone like a Wendell Carter Jr. at 5,600, who has been, you know, the definition of solid over the last little bit since he got back from his injury and in general found his minutes being returned back to him. He is that guy who has that consistent capability to be able to give you 30 to 35, should be able to do that most nights without having too much trouble there. And I expect the Charlotte matchup with a pretty kind of undersized front court shouldn't give him too much trouble to be able to do that. And at his price tag, should be able to get that 5.5 to 6x there. So if you're not necessarily looking to, you know, aim for the absolute sky with you know, Wemby dropping one of his 70 plus nights over there, then Wendell Carter is a more than capable option to be able to fit in that center slot there. And I feel the same way about Jonas Valanciunas in these matchup in his matchup against Brooklyn as well. At 5,300, he's a guy who's had his minutes kind of cut over the last couple of weeks, really because they've been facing a lot of teams that either would be going a little bit smaller, or he himself has just been finding, you know, just having a bit of bad run as far as his own offense is concerned. Obviously, JV is at his best when he can get himself kind of going on the inside, when his little hooks are going, and also his capability to be able to put up big rebounding numbers, especially on the offensive end as well. In this matchup against Brooklyn, where he should get a little bit more size to deal with on the other end, hopefully meaning that he should get his minutes being more into that mid to high 20s rather than that low 20s and high teens that we've been seeing over the last little bit. At 5,300, he gives you enough upside to be able to kind of drop those 30-plus nights as well. But again, I do think between him and Wendell, you're probably a little bit safer going off with Wendell Carter Jr. But again, Valanciunas can also be a potential contrarian pick, won't have much ownership for sure, and could give you the upside to put up a 30-plus night as well if he can have his way with Nick Claxton in a matchup that should be to his favor and to his pace versus some of the other ones that we've seen as of late. And then finally, from a value perspective, again, going to that Charlotte and Orlando game, one of the things that we've seen is, you know, Charlotte is more than happy to be able to run super small at the front. And it's been Grant Williams that has gotten those center minutes on a team that really, you know, it's kind of an interesting fit. He obviously is a gritty defensive player, and it's almost in the mold of like a Draymond, where he's obviously trying to, you know, out-hustle the guys that he's got on the other side and use his kind of bulkier frame and to try and box out some of the opponents that he has there. And, you know, he is definitely going to have his work cut out for him with the size of a Paolo Banchero, a Wendell Carter Jr., and even a Jonathan Isaac being there up against him. So it's not necessarily the greatest matchup for him, but at 4,900, you should be still getting enough minutes despite everything else to be able to, you know, put up it's one of those mid to high 20 points as far as DK points are concerned. Could maybe get into the 30s as he has in three of the last four games, though it might be a little bit tougher for him. So it's definitely a riskier pick to be able to go with, but on the value side, that's exactly what you're potentially hoping for. As far as GPP is concerned, not to overly expose yourself, but to have a little bit of exposure into some of these guys that could be lower ownership, not maybe in the greatest matchup, but having enough minutes to be able to be of value regardless. But that does bring us to the end of, like I said, a pretty interesting five-game slate. There's a lot of ways you can go about it, and there's really not a perfect answer as far as the pillars to be able to build around. You know, we spoke about Jokic, you spoke about Wembanyama, spoke about Kyrie. There's lots of ways to be able to go there, and then all these value picks in these other positions to be able to go ahead and make that fit. perhaps that is going to be the route to success in a five-game slate here. But as always, love to hear what you guys think. Reach out to me on Twitter, on Instagram, at HAK_Devil, and talk to me about your kind of lineup constructions, what you're thinking from that perspective. And as always, get yourself subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass so you can keep yourself on top of all of the changes that could make those last-minute adjustments worth it. And to ask the DFS pros all the way up until lineup lock if the way you're thinking is kind of aligned with what they have on their minds as well. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one. It will be Ramiz and I coming through for the podcast for the Wednesday slate. But until then, let's take down some GPPs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.